I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're not talking about a quarterback. There's a quarterback in Cleveland. We don't need one in the draft anymore. At least not a high one, not a franchise quarterback. So it's a different feel to this offseason for all of us because we're used to doing Mock Monday and thinking quarterback. We're not anymore. Instead, we're thinking, gosh, I wonder who John Dorsey's going to bring in and how active he's going to be. Get a feel for that as we start our Mock Mondays. Luke Easterling is from USA Today's Draft Wire, and he joins us right now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Luke, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me.
So here we go. Browns are in a very strange situation for those of us in Cleveland. They're not in the top one. They're not in the top three. They're not even in the top 10. They're sitting at 17. We're trying to let that sink in, Luke. We can still get a good
glorious,
player at 17,
it?
Right?
It is glorious. That's a great word.
It is glorious, actually. Yes. What do you think? As the Browns no longer need a quarterback, and you have a guy picking who has shown that he can actually bring in talent to this football team.
Yeah, it's a great spot to be in. I think with the trust you can already have in John Dorsey's ability to bring in that talent. And honestly, the talent that was already there that was maybe a little ahead of its time and a little raw at the time, guys like David Njoku come to mind, those guys finally starting to get to the point in their careers where they are developing and are starting to blossom. There's a lot to work with in Cleveland, and I think now that you have that piece in place, obviously the most important position at quarterback, now that Baker Mayfield is already proven that he can be a franchise guy, in my opinion, everything else becomes way, way easier. So at 17, you know, they have, you know, a couple of extra picks, so they can be flexible and move up and down a little bit if they want to. But at 17, they really have their options open to them. You know, the biggest needs in terms of getting another corner to pair with Denzel Ward, getting a three-technique defensive tackle to kind of finish off that really talented young defensive line that I think they have there. You know, they can really let the draft come to them at 17, maybe even move up a couple spots if there's a guy they really like at either one of those spots. Maybe it's a receiver that they really like to help Baker out. But they're in a great position for once to not feel desperate with that first pick, and that's a great place to be.
All right, so is that priority-wise, what is the Browns' highest priority? Defensive lineman? Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think those three needs, like I said, getting a complete, maybe, you know, true number one wide receiver for Baker Mayfield that he can rely on. He's got some weapons that can do some things, but doesn't really have that complete guy that I think can do everything. And there's a couple of guys in this draft that may make sense in that range for them. But corner, and like I said, getting that last piece, that explosive pass rushing type interior defensive lineman to go with the talent they already have there. I think Larry Ogunjobi is one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the league, and I think he's that anchor in the middle, but they really need that explosive interior rusher to keep offensive lines from being able to key on the outside guys. So there, when you have multiple needs that are kind of similar in terms of importance and how dire of a need it is, you know, you can really just let the draft come to you and compare value. You know, where do we have the top corner on our board? Where do we have the top defensive lineman that fits what we need on our board? And really maximize the value there. So that's really the place you want to be.
Luke Easterling joining us, USA Today Draft Wire. I've read in more than a few spots, Luke, that pass rushers are just – it's a big draft for pass rushers, plenty of them, including inside pass rushers. Do you agree?
Yeah, there really is. I mean, the whole defensive line class this year is just second to none. I think that it's going to be a very dominant, defensive-dominant first round in this class. And really the defensive line, both interior and on the edge, is really going to be the meat and potatoes of that class. So whether you need an explosive edge guy, whether it's a 4-3 or a 3-4 guy, there's really a bunch of both and some guys that can do both. Or whether you need a more interior guy, Christian Wilkins from Clemson comes to mind, Rashawn Gary from Michigan, who played on the edge at Michigan, but at 6'5", 280, 285, I think he'd be better as an interior guy. Both of those guys, I think, would be fantastic fits for the Cleveland at 17.
Just Ohio State or Nick Bosa, Your thoughts on him? You have him going number two in your mock draft. I'm just curious why, and do you think he could end up going to number one?
Yeah, I think he's easily the best player in this draft. Really, if I was Arizona, I'd try to get out of that pick. I think that you have Chandler Jones, who's one of the best edge rushers in the league already. So in terms of needs, really, they need an interior guy more than an exterior guy. So Quinnen Williams from Alabama, who I think is the number two player in this draft, makes sense for them there. But if I were them, I'd be trying to sell that pick for a team that wants to go move up and get Nick Bosa. Oakland would make a lot of sense. They have a lot of picks to play with and obviously traded away one of the best pass rushers in the league, Khalil Mack. So if they can get Oakland on the hook to go up and get him, he's absolutely worth the number one pick. I know people will have concerns about the injury. I don't think there are long-term concerns there. Other people will, you know, be mad about the fact that he kind of shut it down early instead of coming back late in the season to try to help out the Buckeyes. In this day and age, we just can't get hung up on that stuff. These guys have started to finally understand how much of a business their self is, and they're making smart business decisions about it. So this, you know, it's not the 80s, it's not the 90s. We can't keep applying those thought processes to these guys now because they realize that they are a commodity. They have to take care of themselves. And you know, with more players skipping bowl games and trying to avoid those injuries, we can't hold that against the guy. So none of that, I think, will take away from Bosa being well worth the number one pick in this draft.
Luke Easterling joining us, USA Today Draft Wire. You can follow him on Twitter, at Luke Easterling, and it's just the way you would think to spell it. Number one wide receiver, Luke, you threw that out earlier. Is there one in this draft that you think, boy, if that guy slides to 17, the Browns need to scoop him up?
Yeah, I think that guy's DK Metcalf from Ole Miss. I think that obviously his season was also cut short due to injury, had to have neck surgery. So that's obviously a concern. He was just recently, within the last couple weeks, cleared to resume all football activity. So going into the combine, he should be at full strength. Obviously, the medical evaluations that happen there in Indianapolis will be key for his class, for his stock. But, I mean, 6'4", 220-plus, and with the speed and athleticism he has, if he goes into the combine fully healthy, checks out, and does what we expect him to do athletically at that size, I think he'll easily solidify himself as the number one receiver in this class. The problem is you look across the top 15, like I said, there's so much defensive talent. There's so much of a need for quarterbacks in that range ahead of Cleveland that I don't think it's crazy to think that the first receiver wouldn't come off the board until 17. So if a guy like that is still on the board, and like I said, he's that missing piece to the offense in terms of, you know, Baker Mayfield has weapons that can do specific things well, but not a guy who can do everything well. And I think that's Metcalf. If he's on the board, I think it'd be a home run.
Why do you think John Dorsey's been so successful, especially when you look at Kansas City and you see what he did with the Browns? What makes him different? Because we're so used to seeing bad draft picks and first rounders that have just been burned and wasted, that last year we had such a special year that you sit here and go, okay, how did he do this? Why did he do this? Is he just staying the course the way a normal general manager would? Or is he doing something that's above and beyond?
Yeah, I think one of the most fascinating parts of the whole draft evaluation process, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years now just on my own, is that the good general managers are like good magicians. You know, they're never going to reveal all of their secrets if they're really successful. And, you know, if I knew what specifically made John Dorsey so successful at what he did, I'd probably be trying to get into that business myself.
Right.
But, you know, I think for a team like Cleveland, it's just such a fantastic obviously, we're only a couple years into it now, but, you know, it is good for them to enjoy the fact that some good fortune came their way and being able to get him in and rebuild that front office and retool that roster with talent. He's proven he can do it in other places. So that's what gives me confidence that he's going to be able to continue to do it in Cleveland. So I don't know what his magic bullet is, because I think if anybody did, we'd see it trying to be replicated across all 32 franchises.
What do you think of the Kansas City team that he basically built?
Yeah, Kansas City is fun. I loved watching them draft because they had very specific player types that they would stick to. Their board looked like, you know, with the way they drafted, it definitely looked like it's something that they had their ideas on guys, and you know, they didn't care who else thought what about what. They were going to stick to their guns and stick to their guys. They made picks that made you kind of go, really, that guy at that point, you know, and then they turned out to be really, really good players. Chris Jones from Mississippi State, the defensive lineman, has turned out to be one of the better young defenders in the league. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is the key to all of that, and making a bold move to go do that, you know, the year after Alex Smith took them, you know, far into the playoffs and had a great season itself. So I think what the great general managers do is they stay one step ahead of their needs. They stay one step ahead of the competition. When you're able to go make a bold move, trade up for a guy like Patrick Mahomes a year before you probably need to because he's such a special player, staying one step ahead like that really gives you an advantage.
Luke Easterling is joining us from USA Today's Draft Wire. If you look at the Browns, Luke, and we've talked about the pass rush a little bit, it's kind of strange for us, as I mentioned, because clearly the needs were so obvious in the past, and they're not now. Can you go into a draft and just think, let's just find who drops and add them? Because there are a couple of different spots. And you could always use a defensive back, certainly a pass rusher, maybe a linebacker, offensive lineman. Or do you think if you're John Dorsey, you're looking specific when you get to 17 and even in the second round?
Well, I think that, you know, free agency is also going to have a lot to say about that as well. I think that, you know, what you try to do in free agency is attack the needs and do it in as much of an economical way as possible to set yourself up going into the draft to have the most flexibility that you can, because that's what you want to do. You want to be able to draft the best pure football players, no matter what position that you can, when the talent falls to you. So you do that by making sure in free agency that you go out and fill the needs, maybe not with high level starters that you have to overpay for as much as, you know, solid players that you can rely on so that you don't feel like you have to reach for that guy in the first round. You know what I mean? So I think if the Browns can address one of those needs or two of those needs, get a corner, get an interior rusher, get a receiver that they think can be a potential number one guy, or at least good enough for now to allow them to wait on a receiver until maybe day two. Then they go into the draft saying, hey, we got the 17th pick. If the, you know, eight or ninth player falls to us on our board that's not necessarily at one of those two or three positions we thought was a huge need going into the offseason, because we filled those needs with veteran guys, now we feel like we can go ahead and take that better player, even though the position might not be a huge need right now.
Luke, we appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Luke.
Luke Easterling joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from the Draft Wire USA Today, and you can follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. That's LukeEasterling. Some news coming down about a young guy who had a choice to make between football and baseball.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that because he apparently has made his decision. That coming up, plus some funny things going on in New Orleans. And is it a huge concern for the NBA? It just might be, because it's difficult ground. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.